The book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19, so we have a handout. Exodus chapter 19, there we go. All right, so if you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19, we'll be looking at verses 20 through the rest of the chapter. Exodus chapter 19, verse 20. So we'll look here in verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the account at hand. We pray that you'll use the scriptures here once again to edify us and strengthen us and build us up. Pray that you'll bless, help us. We pray, we commit all this to thee, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in this case, we have several things going on, to be sure, but the Lord wants to meet with his people. Chapter 19 is preparatory for chapter 20. Chapter 20 has to be is the giving of the Ten Commandments, not just for the nation of Israel, but for all mankind. These commandments were written in the heart of God, of man, and in their conscience, but now they're put in written form as well. Prior to this, certainly these commandments were in the conscience of man, and man knew right from wrong, but now they're put in written form. All right, so with repetition, we see in verse 20, the Lord came down. Back there in verse 18, it says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it. So what the writers do here, quite often they give a summary statement here and then they begin to unpack it. And so it's not, he's coming down once, he's coming down again, and so on and so forth. But we have a summary statement here, then we see it gets expanded on in the following verses. So, verse 18 says, the Lord descended. Now, verse 20 says, the Lord came down. See, so now this is the expansion of that point. And so this is true in biblical writing, whether in the Old Testament or New Testament. Anyway, with repetition and expansion, the Lord came down from heaven upon the top of Mount Sinai with fire and smoke, causing the mountain to quake greatly. So Paul cited the episode and response of Moses here in Hebrews. So in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul cites the passage and gives us something that's not recorded back here, where the scripture says, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, so where do we have this? In the Old Testament, we don't. But Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So Paul said that in Hebrews 12. And so he had the this knowledge of this. Who gave him that knowledge? Apparently the Lord gave him that knowledge. So remember when he was 3 years in the desert, the Arabian desert, learning from the Lord gave him many, many revelatory truths. Although Paul was a scholar and knew the Old Testament very well, studying under Gamaliel, the Lord gave him additional information and emphasis that's not always found in the Old Testament. In fact, he was given the mysteries. The mysteries weren't recorded in great detail in the Old Testament, but now they are through Paul. Anyway, the Lord called Moses to the top, and he went up. Scripture revealed in other places, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. So as fearful as it may have been for Moses to go up this smoking and quaking and thundering and lightning mountain, he obeyed. So a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So that's true. True for them. True for us. Trifling with one's accountability to Jehovah God is a serious matter for both the saved and the unsaved alike. So God has a will for our lives. We don't want to trifle with it. The Lord expects man to be responsible spiritually and physically and financially. That responsibility falls on man. He expects man to be a responsible person. And he also expects man to do his will. Doing his will is a serious matter, so we don't want to trifle with it, think it's insignificant or it's not important or I've got other plans. Most people in their younger life think, I've got plans for my life. That's what I want to do, so I've got it all figured out. That's what I'm going to do here. And then the Lord steps in and interrupts them. And wait a minute. This is what I want to do. So we don't want to trifle with the Lord's will here. So the Lord he's called us. We saw this once again in Sunday school. He has a call on our lives. He expects us to obey this. The scripture helps us to understand his will and unpack the inspired scriptures here. And so the Bible is written about other people, but it's also written for us. And so we see the hearts of other people in the Bible, but the Bible begins to expose our hearts as well. And wait a minute. I can pick on Paul and Moses and these individuals. Why didn't they do it this way or that way? Or what's wrong with them back there? It's a commentary on our heart. What's wrong with our heart? And so we don't want to trifle with the Lord's will. All right, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. All right, so here's his focus on this. Lord came down from heaven on the Mount Sinai, called Moses up to Mount Sinai, so we're not getting confused here, and sent Moses down. So Lord comes down, calls Moses up, and then he sends Moses down. He told Moses to go down and charge the people about not a breakthrough, the boundary or border, to gaze on the presence of the Lord and perish. So here we have the breakthrough here in verses 21. 22 and 24. So we have this idea of breaking through. There's the verb there. And again in verse 24, the last part of it, break forth. Break through and break forth. The boundaries that were set so that they would not go beyond the boundaries and look into the majesty of the Lord and being killed. So he told Moses to go down and charge the people not to have a breakthrough moment, you might say. The word paratz is there. We have this found in two names in Scripture, Baal Perazim, 2 Samuel 5:20, which was a boundary or a border that they were to set up to prevent them from gazing on the presence of the Lord and perish. Scripture gave triple emphasis on the warning about the curiosity into the divine. So we see this back here in verses 12 and 13. He says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. And they weren't to touch the border or go in. All right, so that's lesson number one. That's message number one. Don't do this. Then he tells them again, he tells Moses, you go down and tell them, don't break through the boundaries. Message number two. And then, verse 25, he goes down and tells them. So basically, message number three, don't break through the boundaries. Don't get into, through curiosity about God. We don't approach God in a curious fashion. Well, there are many things we don't know about him, obviously, multitudes of things and so on. We approach him as a sinner who needs help and as a believer who wants to know the will of God. We're not trying to look into curious things here that he's not revealed to us. So so we picked this up. So the triple emphasis warning about curiosity and to the divine. For instance, so there's several instances or examples of this. For instance, the Kohathites were forbidden to look on the holy things they were covering. They put a covering over some of the holy things, but they're not to look on these. So Scripture tells us there's in Numbers 4:20. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Again, in another passage, 1 Samuel, and he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men, and the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. That's 1 Samuel 6:19. So it's as if they had a big long parade. We just want to look at the things of God here. Look at the ark. We want to look at the ark and look at the dimensions and this and that and everything else, and as if this is some sort of a object of art there and so on. They were not to look in this because this represented the Lord. And so what did the Lord do to show his fierceness in mere curiosity about him? He killed over 50,000 individuals here. And also then, King Uzziah. There's the third example. King Uzziah touched the ark as it shook. Remember, the ark was being carried and it shook. And God killed him at the place called Perez Uzzah. So that's Perez has to do our word breakthrough and Uzzah. So what did Uzzah do? He broke through, contrary to the God's will of being curious about these things, 2 Samuel 6, 6 through 8. And so the Lord is very adamant at this point. Moses, you go down and you tell them not to do this. Now verse 22, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. So they were to sanctify themselves and set themselves apart and so on, but even the priest here did not have privilege. Now, there's a theological issue here. So who were the priests? Now, the word behind priest here is Kohen. Kohen. So if you look in a phone book, remember the phone books, you can look up the name Kohen, and you can see many, many people named Kohen, usually K or C. I don't know how many physicians I've known that are named Dr. Kohen, right? Okay. But that's the Hebrew word for a priest, all right? So, but the big question here is, who are the priests? Who are the priests? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we can look here. Initially, the firstborn sons were consecrated to God as part of the kingdom of priests. Remember that back in 19:6? A kingdom of priests, the whole nation, everybody's to be priest until they sinned. Everybody's to be priest. But it started off with, so if everybody in the kingdom of priests are priests, who's this mean? Well, it'd be the firstborns who are sanctified to be the priest representing the family. Follow that? The firstborn. So Scripture indicates that. There in Exodus 13:2, remember to sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, is mine. So that'd be the firstborn son. So the firstborn son would be the priest of the family of a kingdom of priests. Follow this? And then later, the tribe of Levi were substituted for the firstborn. So the Jews had sinned here shortly after this, and so they started worshiping the golden calf and so on. So it was the priest, or the Levites, rather. So the Scripture says, take the Levites. So we're jumping ahead here to Numbers 3. Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn, among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, and I am the Lord. That's Numbers 3:45. So the kingdom of priests went from all the firstborn sons were the priests of the families throughout the kingdom of priests. But when the 11 of the tribes sinned, the Levites did not sin with the golden calf, and so they became the priest. You follow that? So we see the priest. Who are the priests? Initially, the firstborn males, and then later on, the tribe of Levi, because they resisted the golden calf worship, and therefore they received the divine blessing of being the priesthood, Exodus chapter 32. So everybody follows this, right? What happened to the kingdom of priests? It was diminished down to a small tribe here. No longer a kingdom of priests, but just one tribe. And so this is like our example of the book of life. Everybody's written into the book of life, but in human history, the book of life narrows down because people don't repent and believe on the Lord, down to a smaller book of life. So we go from God's graciousness of everybody's in the book of life through human history, and only those who have trusted in the Lord are in the book of life. Likewise, the kingdom of priests started off big, and it narrows down to one tribe. All right, so we see the graciousness of the Lord. He starts off with the potential of everybody being blessed, but there's two sides to this. Man has to meet his requirements for the ultimate fulfillment of blessing. So these aren't complicated. This is just a pattern that we see running throughout Scripture here. So, 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds upon about the mount and sanctify it. So here Moses says, you've already said this once. You've already told me and that they and the people, they are not to touch the borders of the mountain. You already told them that. So why do I need to do that again? Why do I need to do that again? So Moses demurred, concerned about the warning of breaking through the bounds of God. He says, the Lord, you charged us. You told us not to do it. So you expect us to violate this? Now, remember, who's he talking to? The sons of Adam. All right? So he demurred, concerning about the warning, breaking through the bounds of God, charges us. The Lord knew the heart of the people, and they needed to be warned again. What? I mean, you talk to your children. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. And you know what? They never do that again, right? Oh, no, you haven't been a parent, have you? Okay, so, yeah, warning and warning and warning. So, the Lord knew the heart of the people. I mean, after all, who were these people? They were the ones that came out of Egypt in the wanderings, in the wilderness, wandering around, and what were they doing? Complaining, 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 right? He knew them. He knew them, so after all, Jews had opposed Moses in the wilderness thus far, and although they said they would obey, remember that? We will obey all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. See, so what did the Lord tell Adam? What did he tell Adam? About the tree. So all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Lord has told mankind what to do. What does man do? They did not. They did not obey. The Lord knew that. He knows the heart of man. Moses was exception to the warning of approaching the presence of the Holy God on Mount Sinai. And so here we have this in verse 23 and then 24. And the Lord said unto him, that's unto Moses, away, get down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So there's a play on words here. So he says, Moses, away, get out of here. I told you to go down and tell them, don't argue with me, go. He's saying, strong language here, away. Don't be arguing with me, I know the people. Yeah, but you've already told them once, I know the people, go and tell them again. And oh, by the way, and you bring up Aaron. Bring Aaron with you. And let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And so, the verse 24 and 25. Excuse me. The Lord overruled the objection of Moses. So, James tells us, the father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So when the Lord says something, expects it to be done. When he calls us to do something, expects us to do it. Expects us to do it. Moses could not rebut the Lord and receive the abrupt rebuke. So when the Lord calls somebody, better do it. Don't trifle with the Lord. Don't tell the Lord no. You better obey. Better obey the Lord. Many of us probably have traveled to Boston from here, right? So the trip from Hartford to Boston is about 100 miles. Do you know that? All right, so the brethren in Dubai contacted me, and they want me to come in January. You know the distance of Dubai to the Hormuz Strait is about 100 miles. What's going on in the Strait of Hormuz? What's going on there? So they want me to come within their 100 miles to minister there. So I told my wife that. And she basically says, go. Go. All right. So I told her, you know, she said, so you're going in January, late in January, and so I said, you know, I could tell the Lord no. I could tell the Lord no. That's too dangerous. Right. Now, it may change in 6 months. Could change 6 months, you know. But I could tell the Lord no. And she's basically wants me to go because she wants to keep me alive. Disobedience brings what? Only death. And so so the battle's on. But on the other hand, the Lord can take care of believers anywhere. And so these are not easy things to consider and so on, but when the Lord calls us to do certain things, we better obey. Amen. And so in my life, he may not call you, but by the way, is there any young man that wants to go with me? Hmm? All right, well, anyway, I'll ask again. But the Lord is not going to change his mind on these things. So we can argue with him, say, no, I can't, I don't want to. Usually I can't means I don't want to. But we want to do the Lord's will. And so Jehovah knew the hearts of the men. As Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? How well do you know your own heart? Well, let's not talk about my own heart, but I know the hearts of a lot of other people. Oh, really? You hypercritic. You know the hearts of everybody else, but you don't know your own heart. Is that right? Here the issue is, the message is, from Scripture, from the pastor, how well do you know your own heart? I have to ask myself that. I may not be perfect. I may not be perfect, that's us. I may not be perfect, but I'm not as bad as some other people I know. Is that how we respond to the Lord? So, says the arch critic. So, we need to realize our hearts. The Lord has told us through Scripture about, we know about the Ten Commandments. They're written in our conscience here and so on. So, have we ever broken any of the Ten Commandments? All right. So, He knows our heart. He knows our heart. That's where redemption comes in, obviously. But even as a redeemed person, we still have an old nature that wants to break the Ten Commandments. And so the battle's on. So for the first time now, it was revealed that after Moses went down, Aaron should come back with him. Furthermore, Moses was to warn the priests and the people to avoid the breakthrough, or Jehovah would break forth on them. So we don't want the break forthing on us. Moses obeyed and warned the people. So Moses was thinking, think of this now. He knew, Moses knew these people complained, they argued, they fought with him, they stopped him, tried to, everything about him, they didn't like him and so on. But he thinks, yeah, Lord, you told him one time, that's all they need. Now we have three emphases here on the Lord telling them, don't break through. So there is a big don't. Chapter 20 is a big do. Better do these things. So don't get caught in the don't mode, but you better do what the Lord wants. And so this prepares the way here. Don't violate the Lord's will and word and law, but do the Lord's will and word and law. That's what he expects. And so is this passage dealing with Moses and Aaron only? It's dealing with us. It's pertinent to us. And so we need to hear from this. What if we were there? What if we were one of the Jews? We're back in that dispensation, not this one. Would we obey the first time? Well, the warning was, if you don't obey, you'll die in this case. And the Lord deals with people, so we can rebel against the Lord. But that, what's 1 Corinthians 11 say? That we're weak, we're sick, we die when we don't take care of spiritual things. And so you look at our nation. Our nation has all kinds of diseases. We have the diseases of Egypt because we have refused to obey as a nation the word of God. Look at the diseases of Egypt. Oh, there's a pill for every one of them. But then you need an advanced pill after that. So you think about that. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for the scriptures. We pray that you bless us now. Help us learn from Moses as he dealt with the Lord, and the Lord dealt with Moses. Help us to obey thee, we pray. And serve thee, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.